You're listening to Data Center Therapy. Please take a number, and an engineer will be right with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Data Center Therapy. I am your host, Matt Yeti, with Ivoxy Consulting, and today we have a special episode. I'm going to be running our side of things solo, but I'm joined by Jonas Irwin of Pure Storage. He's the director of the Cloud Solutions Architects. Jonas, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Glad to hear it. Yeah, no, thank you for taking the time to join us. Jonas has quite an esteemed career, and if I can ape his LinkedIn, he's had experience at companies such as NetApp and EMC on the storage side, and also most recently worked for AWS on their cloud architecture, and now is, again, like I said, the director of the Cloud Solution Architects over at Pure. Jonas, you want to tell us a little bit about what that encompasses currently?
Sure. Yeah, we are focused. So we're a team that it's about four of us right now, right? So a burgeoning team. And we have a lot of expertise in Kubernetes, automation frameworks like Ansible, Salt. A lot of the folks on the team have come from a VMware background as well. So there's definitely some strong knowledge there. Solutions like HCI, converged solutions, just generally new stack, so helping customers deploy container environments, best practices on what we call new stack at Pure. So that might be databases like CockroachDB, Kubernetes environments, OpenShift. Yeah, so really focused across the board.
Well, we at Ivoxy are having a lot of conversations with our customers, and the elephant in the room is cloud. And a lot of times we're talking with the system architects, the system engineers who might not be the actual true decision makers in the room, but they're on the hook to implement the direction given down to them from the C-level or director level. And a lot of those conversations are coming from an apprehensive standpoint, at least from the customer's point of view. Hey, I've been tasked with putting us in the cloud, and I'm really not sure either what that means, to what extent, or where I can really improve my infrastructure leveraging that directive. Where are you seeing, I guess to start out with, the low-hanging fruit, right? Where is cloud a good solution for almost everyone? Or is it?
Yeah, that's a tough question, but I'll tell you, we...
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, but I'd say we end up in front of customers very frequently where they say, hey, our CIO was on a plane, heard a term like, we want to get out of the data center business, or you're missing out. And I think there's that syndrome of we might be missing out on something.
So FOMO.
Exactly. Thank you. I knew there was a better acronym for that. But when we get in front of the teams, they'll say, we're all cloud. We're going cloud first. And oftentimes we have to help them unpack that. So if a directive from the top is we want to get out of the data center business, oftentimes they're looking at their DR environment saying, hey, this environment's maybe underutilized. There's a lot of cost and complexity to keep this dedicated data center going, especially if it's a cold environment. Maybe if we could replace the DR data center with the cloud, that would be a win, right? So that might be an anchor point for us to go and get to that next level of resolution. Other times they may want to take advantage of the cloud. They're looking at maybe their data protection scheme that they've put into place. Maybe they have a 20th century design that's really falling apart under the pressures of today's workloads. And they're thinking, maybe we could modernize data protection, not only the software, but we could take advantage of cloud, get rid of tape. Believe it or not, tape's still out there. We need fast recovery, get rid of a purpose-built backup appliance, take advantage of the cloud, take advantage of flash. So that those are sort of two areas. Sometimes it's just it's a financial aspect where they'd like to just pay for only what they use. And that's a very appealing proposition. Maybe they've built their data infrastructure or their application environments for peak, right? And peak only happens a month or two out of the year. And they'd really like to design to average and just pay for what they're using. maybe take advantage of the cloud for burst, or if they can get into an economic model with what they have a cloud-like consumption model on-prem, right? And oftentimes, picking up their existing apps and migrating those apps to the cloud hasn't really been something that customers have been that successful at in the past, because they have an environment that maybe over the course of many years has gotten very complex. So simplifying and automating what they have first, right, before they start moving things around, is another area. So that's sort of, I know that was a lot, right? That's sort of six different areas that we talk about and we can kind of drill down into.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. And, you know, Ivoxy and Pure have had a very symbiotic relationship, I feel. I feel like it's been successful for both companies and most importantly, successful for our customers. It's one of those products where I talk about it and it's like, well, I don't really have unhappy Pure customers. they're just not. It's a fantastic platform. And what we have found is Pure is one of those companies that is on the front foot. If their toe is in the water, that's the leading edge of that body of water, essentially. And you know, they were all flash from the beginning. And now with the cloud becoming such a large portion of companies' larger strategic direction, once again, Pure is on that edge. So what are some of the ways where Pure is, again, disrupting that space, making portability between on-premise and cloud something that does not have to be extremely painful if properly planned for?
Yeah, so those are all great observations and really, really astute points. Pure is really about trying to create an experience of simplicity, speed, right, reliability, and ultimately, if a customer can get to a point where they actually love interacting with us, which is a tall order. So we definitely pride ourselves on our net promoter, which is still north of 85. And the reason, I guess, we've had some apprehension in the past about taking our solution, quote unquote, into the public cloud is what we didn't want to do is just take our software and throw it on a VM and just sort of throw it up into the cloud and say we were done. We've seen other organizations, other competitors, I won't name names, but taking that approach, and the overall outcome has not been positive. So we've announced with our cloud launch, which I think came right after Thanksgiving, probably not the best time for publicity, but big cloud launch, which has three different offerings. One is called Cloud Block Store. So Purity, our underlying OS on the Flash Array, we also have a version of that for FlashBlade, is in a beta process right now. And to be 100% clear, that offering's goal is to provide sort of a 6.9s availability, nonstop, enterprise grade, you know, super low latency, everything that you would come to know and love from a Pure deployment on-prem, but in the cloud. And to do that, we're going through a process right now of architecting something that's going to be very differentiated, that is going to offer that 6.9s availability, that zero data loss thing, type of capability that we've been known for. We also have, in 5.2, Purity 5.2 for the Flash Array, we've released Cloud Snap. Are you familiar with Cloud Snap?
I'm not. I would love to hear more, though.
Yeah, so our approach is to get something, a very robust, what I call a data mobility framework, to be successful here in the cloud. What CloudSnap enables customers to do is create a protection group, which we've had for many years now. And you can throw all your applications, all the things that you care about, into this protection group. And you can offload replicas of it, whether those replicas can be local for near instantaneous recovery. But you can also offload those now with Cloud Snap directly into S3 and Amazon. So you're going essentially from block storage in a consistent, you know, consistent copy, and you're pushing that natively directly into S3 in a compressed form factor.
So what is that, if I can interrupt you, from an instantiation standpoint, right? Getting the data up there is one thing, but then let's say I want to rapidly instantiate that into an AMI instance, for example. What is the path to that look like once you've got the block up there?
Yeah, so our sort of data mobility framework has this ability to push data from peer to peer and from peer to other targets. Those other targets could be anything with an NFS service. We can push a snapshot there, okay? We can also push it into S3 with Cloud Snap. That is a self-describing full fidelity replica of your data, but it's just sitting in S3. To recover it with Cloud Snap, you would need to point it, you'd have to have privileges, and you'd need to point it back to a pure storage instance. That could be the same array from which it came, or it could be another array. And kind of leading up to how you would use that in the cloud, the use case here for Cloud Snap in this particular instance would be, you might have snaps every 5 minutes on-prem, and now you're pushing perhaps a snapshot of everything every 4 hours into AWS, and you're keeping that for, I don't know, let's say 5 years, right? So you get the lower cost capabilities. We're also maintaining compression, and we're doing delta diffs. So you're able to push that very quickly. You can recover that back, but in order to take advantage of that data in the cloud, you would have to deploy sort of our next offering, which is the cloud block store technology. So you would restore that directly into an instance of specialized instance of Purity in the cloud. And that's the cloud block store technology.
Yeah, I think that's where the robustness of the cloud can be extended, right? Because you've got these base level functions, web scale and S3 object store, but like you kind of just intimated, an object store by itself is just a place to hold data. In terms of any kind of services that sit around that, it's not built in. You kind of have to layer on. And like you said, Purity is now available in the cloud, so I can have a virtual Pure running in AWS, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so we're in beta today. In the second half of this year, we'll actually be releasing the full GA version. And just to be 100% clear, that's not going to be sitting on top, this instance of Purity will not be using EBS, Elastic Block Store from Amazon. It's going to be using native components. And interestingly enough, it's going, because we have a zero data loss approach from our design, it is going to be taking advantage of the durability of S3 as well. So I can't say much more about the architecture, but yeah, because data loss is not an option.
No, I mean, if you want to guarantee that your product will be thrown over to the bin and not considered, I mean, anything less than complete fidelity is just not acceptable when it comes to your production data. And if you want cloud to be a tier zero platform for your data center, you know, you wouldn't treat your local data center as a backup site or, oh, we don't care if we lose anything. So, you know, cloud has to offer the same level of reliability.
Exactly. For the use case and what we're known for, I think there's a market for other levels. You know, we're still exploring that of lower availability, shall I say, offerings. But for us, for our brand, we want to make sure we're providing the ability to lift what some people call a pet type of application, an application that was written without the cloud in mind, sort of, and provide that substrate for it to really thrive up there. So that it,
i.e. almost all of them, at least when you're talking a lot of customers, quote unquote, legacy systems. It's not a bad word, even though sometimes it's treated as such. It's, hey, I've got all these apps that were written no newer than 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. The cloud wasn't a twinkle.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. But yeah, I mean, you have to account, even though, you know, if you're a startup, if you're a new company, you're able to be forward thinking because you're lightweight and you don't have a lot of legacy stuff dragging around. Sure. That's great. But I think there's there's a huge market of customers who have been around a lot longer than these cloud platforms that want to be able to be flexible and agile to embrace the cloud as well.
That's exact. Yeah, I agree 100%. I think the neat thing about cloud block store is it's designed to enable the use cases that a lot of folks want, which is an effective lift and shift strategy that's going to be successful and not kind of boomerang back. I think it was 451 Group. A large portion of apps when we went this initial phase with the public cloud hype and the pendulum was kind of way over a number of years ago. very large number of those apps kind of came back just because people would move them up there and they'd realize, wait a minute, I have no shared device. I can't create a cluster. I have to down it to add CPU or memory, like all the things that we've come to know and love with VMware. It was as if they realized when they got up there, like, whoa, we've actually taken a step back, right? And we can't deliver the SLAs. Mm-hmm. So with Cloud Block Store, what we're trying to enable is that use case to make it successful, make those migrations successful, provide the availability. The other thing is, our other goal is to have this northbound API, all the automation, all the things that you're used to doing with Purity, be available in all the hyperscalers. So you, instead of learning the 7 different types of storage and, you know, Amazon and 8 and Google and 12 and Azure, and that takes a lot of work. There's a lot of nuances, a lot of differences. The beauty of this is once your staff knows this, you know, as I said in the beginning, the goal is this run anywhere concept. You can really run it anywhere, move it from cloud provider to cloud provider, run anything in your environment.
I think that's huge. Me personally, and when I talk to my customers in mind, I'm trying to help them achieve the best solution for their needs and their requirements, no matter really what it is. And one of the things that I fear, and I have an ops background, so I'm still kind of living in that mindset, whether I want to or not. And the idea of being locked into a single cloud provider, because in terms of a technology lifecycle, cloud is still young. In my opinion, I mean, it's fairly new on the scene when you think about mainframes and then powerful workstations and data centers. Cloud is still the new kid on the block, I think. And with that, I want to be flexible. If Amazon all of a sudden says, you know what, we're tripling your cost, I don't want to turn around to my CFO and say, I'm sorry, we're stuck there. Now we have to go invest all this. You know, we just shifted all this stuff to OpEx. Now here you go. Here's a capital outlay that we now have to invest in to move everything now to GCP or Azure. The fact that Pure is enabling not only run anywhere cloud mobility, but the ability to also slide that just back on-prem if you need to. It's kind of a Linus security blanket, isn't it? That it gives you confidence in embracing the new technology. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to completely abandon the way you're currently comfortable with as well.
That's yeah, 100%. And like I said, it's aspirational. I think we've seen companies say they have this capability, but when you actually really push it, we talked to a customer that lost 6 petabytes of data, Oh. So it takes time, and that's the one thing I love about, I've been up here for 6 years. It's frustrating sometimes because you're like, I wish we had this feature like now. But what I love about the way we do things is we don't release it until it's to that place where we think it's going to actually be something someone loves, which is a high bar. We don't always get it 100% right, but that's the mindset. And with that, you know, we're really trying to nail this AWS use case. Obviously, the 10,000-pound gorilla. But once we figure this out and we're still hardening our requirements for the other providers, the goal is exactly what you just said. You don't have to worry, right? You learned once. Ideally, you know it all in terms of all of the different offerings as they move. You write your automation scripts, infrastructure as code, all that good stuff. And ideally, it works everywhere because those northbound REST APIs, the plugins, they all speak the same language, right? That's where we're trying to get. That's the goal.
Well, I mean, and you can definitely, I can empathize with what Pure has to deal with, because as fast as you can iterate and as strong as your developers are, you're held to a higher standard ultimately. If you are a backup appliance, not that backup's not important, not that the fidelity of that data is not important, but you're not running your primary data center off of backup target storage. And so you can be a little more aggressive with your development, because if you lose data, not that that's ever good, but you're not losing your primary copy, where if you guys make a mistake, you know, 5 9s, 6 9s, but you're talking 6 petabytes, not that that was Pure, but 6 petabytes of data loss, yeah, you definitely have to kind of go through a much stronger QC QA cycle than many other companies would have to.
Yeah, and part of it is it's the service. If you could have the greatest software in the world, but if it's running on top of something that wasn't really designed with that use case in mind, it's really no better than that underlying foundation. Not to knock on EBS, right? It's just if you look at the SLAs and many of the hyperscalers, they're reset every month. They're in the, when it comes actually to, you know, down to brass tacks, you're talking 3 nines. They may say architected for a certain number of nines, but, you know, pure 6 nines, and that's, we've had customers running 4 years with zero downtime, knock on wood, but we don't reset our clock every month. We can't afford that. It's availability for the whole year. That means if you want to upgrade, if you want to add capacity, if you want to move from on-prem to cloud, no downtime. That's the bar. And the neat thing about the ES2 offering the Evergreen subscription model, which we've been shipping for a while, is you don't have to actually buy an array. So we in this cloud conversation we talked about this consumption, we've really tried to look at it and say, what do people love about the cloud? And it's this idea that you can run anything at any capacity, really anywhere globally at any time. So we've released ES2, which is the Evergreen subscription storage service, where you could get FlashBlade, FlashArray, potentially ObjectEngine, although I need to check on that. And you truly consume that as a service, paying for only what you use, and we will take care of the device for you on-prem with our partners, right? Like great partners like Evoxy. The neat thing about that is you can say, I'm not sunk into this device. I can get out of it and take my ES2 licenses and instantiate those into Cloud Block Store. And we'll go ahead and take that device back. So you are truly consuming it as a service, and you're only paying for what you use, both on-prem with the same model or in the cloud.
Is that an or is there an and in there also?
It can be an and, absolutely. You can do all ES2. And we're seeing, if I was on our earnings call, we're seeing a real uptick in that consumption model. Customers really love that flexibility.
Well, and it goes towards the whole point of this topic is essentially cloud. I think cloud can't be that thing over there. Cloud just has to be an extensible part of your data center to really gain the adoption, right? And I like how that model embraces that, and it takes it where you don't. If it's not A and this thing over here, or B. It's just a different place, and your A is basically extended out into those cloud, you know, providers.
That's exactly the goal to which we're aspiring, right? And so part of it is those primary workloads. If you can get to that place where you provide that foundation that lets these apps that are sitting above it live in a way that they don't know any better, like it works great for them, for those apps that maybe were designed before 2000 or, like you said, 5 years ago without the cloud in mind. Now, whether that's running in Amazon, Google, GCP, Rackspace, on-prem, if that could be the same, right, that would be ideal. The next piece, though, is the data protection side. And like you said, that's certainly a lower SLA. However, data's got to be secure, and you can't lose it, whether it's for regulatory. Right. So we made an acquisition that you probably saw of one of Amazon's go-to partners, really, for enhancing object scale storage called StoreReduce. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Okay. So yeah, we spent like the last, since acquisition, we spent the last six, seven months bringing it to a pure product. And we announced that in the form of ObjectEngine, which is coupled with FlashBlade and the cloud. So what that is effectively a way to help customers extend that quote unquote cloud first strategy that may be coming from the top down. And maybe they have two purpose-built backup appliance environments, you know, site A, site B. And the real fundamental problem that we've seen with disk to disk to tape or disk to disk to something else is these dedup appliances, while they were wonderful at the time, they're really focused on the time of the backup, how long it takes to complete a backup, not the restore time. And there's a lot of articles out there, a lot of customers realizing here as we get into this era of cloud that restore time, whether that's on-prem or in the cloud, has to be even equally as fast as backup time or faster, right?
Absolutely.
And that's really where Object Engine flash to cloud comes in.
Yeah, that's I've had that conversation a lot with my customers where when you think about backup, you think about, most people think about backing it up. Oh, it's backed up. It's over there. I'm good. As long as my bits are over there, I'm good. Part two is recovery.
Yeah.
And if it takes you 3 days to recover that stuff and you can only sustain a 24-hour outage from your recovery time objective, you're not meeting your goals. And I think a lot of people are kind of lulled into a sense of security just having their data there without any kind of consideration for how long it actually takes to get it back.
That's, yeah, exactly. And an Object Engine is really focused on performance on both sides. Because it turns out that S3 and these object scale storage platforms, yes, they have high latency. But in terms of bandwidth, like your wall clock time, they're absolute beasts, right? If you talk to them in the correct way, they can be incredibly fast.
Well, I'm very interested in the Object Engine because we do have, like you said, we do have a lot of customers who need somewhere to put things. And there are built-in backup appliances. There are software plus by the hardware combinations. How is Object Engine something that, why would that be a good solution for any customer?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I think a 21st century design, I think many customers are running, especially in the enterprise and a fair bit in the mid-market, they're looking at their data protection scheme that was put in place maybe in the 20th century, or maybe it was built in the 20th century, and it's really fallen down on the job. Either that's in the form of backup times, or they're really seeing it on the restore time. So kind of Object Engine combined with FlashBlade and the cloud kind of hits like three birds with one stone. What we've done with Object Engine is just to talk a little bit about the capability. It provides up to 95% deduplication, right, at scale. And we've coupled that with FlashBlade for on-prem. And then for copies that may say, depending on the customer's retention policy, they can get a recovery back within, ideally, that used to take hours or days into the minutes. And I could show you some numbers around like Oracle recovery. But I think something, I don't have the exact number, so I think something like 80% of restores are within the 14-day window, right? So the idea here is you keep all of that data that's business critical on all flash and with that massive dedup domain engine, which is the Object Engine, but it's also a cloud native app. So maybe everything, you keep a full fidelity copy for 30 days as well, but then maybe you have regulatory requirements where you're going to have 7 years, right? An Object Engine can broker those two environments, and you have cost optimized with the cloud and on-prem for fast restore, and it kind of handles both.
Oh, that's incredible. In terms of the home run pieces, especially like we've talked about with cloud, I find that it works. When I talk to my customers, it seems like that low-hanging fruit is maybe the gateway drug to the cloud, even if it's, drug being a good thing in this case, or at least to familiarize everybody with what we're talking about here. I know a lot of people, when they talk about the cloud, say, I'm just going to take all my VMs and they're not going to run in my data center anymore. And I think that's kind of put an awful bad tint on the cloud, because that's really not what it's designed for. When people talk about the cloud, that's not what they're talking about, where your gains can be made. And I think a lot of people have done just that and then done the old moonwalk back to their on-premise data center. Things like backup, offsite, secondary, tertiary copies of data is really that a good way to start embracing the cloud. Save some money, go to more of an OpEx model where you can control your costs. And I like how that product that you just described can facilitate that.
Yeah, and the idea is you manage it. So the piece I didn't talk about is you need a framework, a modern framework to manage, monitor, ultimately active management from anywhere, whether in a secure manner, right? Whether that's on your mobile device or in a browser, plus your VPN, and that's Pure One. So Pure One it will show all of the replica sets, this data mobility framework that I talked about, whether there's copies running in production, you have snapshots every 5 minutes locally, you have maybe an active cluster configuration where you have a zero data loss solution, and then you have an async copy that's maybe for a week, and then you have another copy on some NFS target, and you might have 7 years in the cloud. Pure One will let you see all of that right through that single pane of glass in an easy way. It pulls together all the security logging, the performance data, all of that stuff is available, and that's an area we continue to invest in.
That's all awesome stuff, Jonas. I want to wrap it up, and I want to thank you again for taking the time out with us. Again, Pure's been a fantastic partner and on the front foot with so many things, and cloud is just another example of that. And I do appreciate you coming on and taking some time to help me, help everybody listening to better understand really what the cloud is all about. And I think that's, again, because that's the elephant in the room, and it's good to see that a company with such a history of being innovative and pragmatic and practical when it comes to actually being able to put these features to use is embracing this and helping us all kind of take a better advantage of it. So thanks again for joining us.
You bet. Anytime. Thank you so much.
All right. And this has been yet another episode of Data Center Therapy. I am your host, Matt Yeti. We will be back here in a couple of weeks, hopefully with some more interesting topics to talk about. If you've got questions, if you have things that you want to hear us talk about, email us at podcast@ivoxy.com. Visit us at ivoxy.com on the web. You can sign up for a free vSphere upgrade assessment, all kinds of things. So once again, this is Matt. Thank you for listening to Data Center Therapy. Have a great day.